Welcome to the Blue Dudes podcast. I'm here. My name is Eric Marks. I'm here with my usual partners in crime, Daniel Golden. How are you doing, Dan?
Fancy. I like it. I am great. Sorry, one second. I got to plug in my phone. Great, great, great. Are we here to talk about the Mets' great last couple games or the Yankees' hot start? I'm in for that.
Just kidding. Exactly. And then also joined by Seth Abbott. How are you doing, Seth?
I'm doing great, guys. And New York sports is back.
New York sports is back.
30 years later, we're have some Rangers in the President's Trophy and the Knicks hardly in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's an exciting time, and the Giants are near the top of the draft. That's another whole thing.
That probably happened '94 too. And now we have OJ dead, so joy to the world.
Yeah, Danny Cannell, Dave Brown, Kent Graham.
Kent Graham, yeah,
all the heroes. Oof.
Let's not do that again.
Well, let's start with our neighborhood New York Knicks, who are in the playoffs. They are the number two seed. They had 50 wins this year. Pretty exciting finish of the year to the regular season, and now they're in the playoffs. Guys, there are clearly some expectations being the number two seed. Is it unrealistic, do each of you think, to expect a deep playoff run for these Knicks? Seth, why don't we start with you?
I mean, this team really reminds me a lot of that 1999 Knicks team when Ewing went down, just like Randall went down. Like, we didn't have high expectations, and then they kept winning and winning and winning and, you know, made it all the way to the finals against the Spurs. So, you know, you never know with this team. Like, I mean, you guys have seen Jalen Brunson in the last 2 years. Like, this guy's like a godsend. Like, I can't even compare him to any Knick we've ever had before. He's just that dominant, that he just takes over games. And there's not one team that scares me in the East other than the Celtics. So who knows how far we can go as long as he's healthy, as long as he puts the team on his shoulders.
I can't agree more. Dan, what do you think?
I don't know if you guys feel about what the potential first round matchup with the Sixers or the Heat, but you know, it's exciting. It's, you know, they're a different team than even they were in November, December. You know, obviously, you know, losing a guy like Randall is tough. And, you know, and Brunson shouldered a lot of the load this year. And selfishly, the MVP would be nice. I put a bet on him a couple months ago. Not going to win, I know that. But, you know, watching him and DiVincenzo, I think McBride stepping up, you know, and the big guy's heart sign stepping up big. You know, and my theory is that the answer is yes, you know, as long as they're all healthy. You know, it's kind of like an obvious statement, but with I think I heard today with OG on the lineup, they're 25-3, which is like freaking absurd. You think about that, you know, but why not? You know, they're the only team who really scares me right now is the Celtics, but you know, they just blew them out more or less a couple of days ago. But they're a mixture of a tough team and also, you know, a pretty fun team to watch. They kind of blend, you know, Seth, it's a pretty good comparison. You know, they're kind of like a fun 90s team. They had their moments, you know, obviously JB has to be the superstar he is. But, you know, I don't see any reason, you know, other than like colossal letdowns for them to make a deep run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I've been thinking about that a lot, Seth, the 99 team in comparison with this one. And what I love about this team, and I think like a lot of New York Knicks fans have been, you know, attracted to, is like, this is like a signature Knicks, you know, hard-nosed, gritty, you know, defensive Thibodeau stamped team. And I think they, you know, they represent the city and the fans in a great way. And, you know, none of these players came in as number one picks, as like, hotly anticipated guys, right when they jumped in the league. Like, all these guys have kind of earned their stripes. And I think, like, we as fans really, Knicks fans especially, really are attracted to that.
Yeah, I agree. I think this team is fun to watch. I think, you know, with the, you know, New York Knicks, Villanova, the Nova Knicks, you know, team going on now, I think it's fun to watch. I think, you know, the three of them between Brunson, Harden, and DiVincenzo, they know each other's game. They know where they're going to be on the court. They have fun playing together. It's really like a fun team to watch. And you're right, like, defense is number one. And like, I know that we kind of like, maybe it was even me who ragged on like OG. I didn't really know a lot about him. I didn't know how good he was. Mm-hmm. But if you watch him play, like he's one of those guys, he's not going to show up in the box score, but he could change a game with his defense. Like it reminds me a lot of like Oakley. Like nothing's really going to stand out in the box score. He's not going to average like 20 a game and then he's not going to average like 15 rebounds. But the defense that he has against like, you know, your offensive best player, like it's right there. Like he's done a great job since he's been here. We just, you know, I'm still a little worried about that elbow issue, you know, mm-hmm. but when he's out there, I think it's a great trade. I mean, you know, like we said, we already knew the ceiling of Barrett and Quickley. I don't think we know the ceiling yet of how good OG can be, especially under Thibodeau.
Yeah, completely agree. I was definitely wrong about that trade. I was very attached to Quickley, you know. And yeah, we didn't really know that much about OG, but when healthy, I mean, clearly he's a difference maker, especially on the defensive end. And by the way, we're recording this Wednesday night. It's halftime of the Heat Sixers game, and the Heat are now winning by 12 at the moment. So
let me interrupt here. I know we're in a minute, but who do we want to win? Does it matter? Do we care? I know. At this point in my life as almost 42 year old, I just play. If you can't beat the teams you're playing, then you shouldn't be playing. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know, like obviously you'd rather play like a crappier team, but like, I don't know.
I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, I'm from the mindset of like, it would be nice to avenge last year's playoff loss to the Heat, you know?
That's true. I mean, Embiid worries me because Embiid's just a difference maker. I feel like with OG and the team now, they could take care of Butler and the Heat, but.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Seth?
Yeah, to me, I don't care. I think we're going to be either of them. I mean, you know, I think they match up. They match up well with both of these teams. You know, there's a reason that we're the number two seed and they're in the playing game, you know, and I don't think it's a fluke. And yeah, I mean, Embiid, you know, he's still coming off an injury. I'm not sure how 100% healthy he is. And Butler is Butler. I mean, you really can't stop him, but I think we have the pieces to like slow him down, which we didn't have last year. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have OG to slow him down last year. I think that either team, I'm not scared of them. I told you, the only team in the East that I think really frightens me is the Celtics. But other than that, I think, you know, any team I was up for. And I know other teams, like, kind of at the end of the season wanted a certain matchup, so they lost games or, you know, didn't play all their starters. Like, I think that's ridiculous. I think you try to win as many games as possible. You know, it was nice to get that 50th win in that second seed. Like, I know that, you know, if they lost that, they would have dropped to three. And I'm like, why? Like, I mean, I'd rather number two seed. Like, that's like a stamp. Like, to win 50 games. Like, who would have thought the Knicks would have won 50 games when Randall went down or when they traded, you know, Barry and Quickley away? You know, I don't think anyone did. So I'm happy with the second seed. And like you guys, I'm just looking forward to Knicks playoff basketball. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I agree, Seth. That's a good point.
How far realistically, what do you guys predict for the Knicks in the postseason? How far do you think they go?
I think they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics. I mean, you know, if we do beat Miami or Philly, which, you know, I'm not saying it's going to be an easy series, but it's going to be a home court advantage for the Knicks. Let's say it goes like, you know, six or seven. I think, you know, we could still win either or. And then, you know, you play the winner of that Indiana-Orlando series and, you know, neither of those teams scare me either. So, not Indiana Orlando, sorry, Indiana Milwaukee series. So, like,
Milwaukee might be scarier.
No, it really doesn't because Giannis is not 100%. You know, Indiana, I mean, they're a pretty good team. But, you know, again, like, this year is different. I think Brunson is going to be just, if Brunson's Brunson the last couple games, like, the end of the season, like, there's not one person that could stop him. And he's someone that could, you know, put the team on his back and just carry them. And even if they do, like, lose a game or two in a series, like, I would not count him out as long as Brunson's on our team.
Mm-hmm. Dan?
That's a good point. No, I agree with Steph. It's funny, as you're saying about Brunson on his back, it kind of makes you sad that a player like him was around in the 90s. Because who knows what would have happened in the 94-95. In those seasons, I mean, but yeah, I mean, assuming they're playing how they should play, nobody, no freak injuries. I don't see why they can't go to the Eastern Conference Finals. You assume be against Boston because they probably shouldn't lose. But you know, the way they're playing is the cohesion, the way Tibbs is coaching and the defense, and You know, it's just, why not? There's nobody right now better than them. You know, obviously you got to play the team and beat them, but there's nobody who, you know, who's so much better other than Boston. Mm-hmm. I think they could be Boston. They showed it. But it's a different, we'll get to that step later. But yeah, I see Eastern Conference Finals. To me, that'd be a disappointment. You know, if OG went down and Brando went down and they were middling and they got in, you know, the playoff 6-7 seed, or I guess a 6 seed, and that would be playing, you know, 6 seed, and they kind of went out. I understand that. But, you know, with OG back, if his elbow's okay and they have, you know, DiVincenzo and Brunson clicking and those guys in the front clicking, you know, there's no reason why they can't win 2 rounds, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe more.
Is there, I mean, what do you guys think has to happen for them to advance past that, like to get to the finals or somehow win the finals? Like, what would have to happen for the Knicks to be able to do that this year?
40 points a game from Brunson. Really?
I think a Celtics injury is the only way.
I mean, as you guys, I follow the Knicks. I don't go too deep. I know the Boston's a good team. I'm, you know, the record. Are they that good of a team? Like, the Knicks play them, it'll be, you know, you win a game or two maybe in the playoffs.
I've watched them a lot this year. They're that good of a team. I think the trades they made and the free agent signings of like Drew Holiday and Porzingis like really, really put them over the top. And Tatum, like as great as Brunson's playing, like for us, and he's definitely playing like an MVP, Tatum is right there. And then they still have Jaylen Brown, who was an all-star too. So, I mean, they got a really, really good team. There's a reason why at the end of the standings, they were like, you know, they won 64 games. Like, they're above and beyond, you know, a better team than anyone else in the East. You know, it's 64 and 18 is pretty good.
Wow, that's a record.
So we'll see what happens. But again, like, you know, remember that movie, Little Giants? Like, you know, you never know, right?
That's one game, though. It's not seven games. But yeah,
but you know, you take one game at a time. You really do. Like, I don't think if New York does end up playing Boston Houston Conference Finals, I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for the Celtics. I think, you know, maybe they'll get beaten up in the first couple rounds and maybe they'll become vulnerable. You know, maybe an injury will happen. You know, maybe the Knicks will be clicking on all cylinders and could take Boston down. But, you know, right now Boston is the favorite and is the better team. But, you know, you never know. I mean, like I said, look at 99. You know, the Knicks were the 8th seed. And look at all the Giants that they took down. So, you know, it could happen again.
Yeah.
So, what, I think we all agree that Eastern Conference Finals are bust. Not that they're going to make heads roll. But, you know, if they don't get to the finals, Eastern Conference, it's something went wrong.
Yeah, and like to that point, what do you think would be a roadblock? Like, what would cause the Knicks to unexpectedly stumble before then?
I think it's poor. Besides an injury, poor play. You know, I think three with DiVincenzo and some up with Brunson, but not bad shooting. You know, that to me would be a problem. Sorry, Seth, you're.
No, but no, Dan's right. I mean, there's a lot of teams right now with a lot more playoff experience than the Knicks have. So, you know, we were great at the end of last season, but playoff basketball is different. So they just have to, you know, a lot of these guys have not been, you know, that far in the playoffs or haven't played any playoff games at all. So, you know, it's definitely going to be, you know, a tough first and second, third round if they make it that far. But, you know, I know you guys are thinking that, like, it's a disappointment if they don't make the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not, like, I don't think it's a huge disappointment. I think if, you know, Randle is healthy and, you know, we're winning, like, you know, we're even close to Celtics, I think it can be different. But if you look at the standings, like 2 through 7, it's pretty tight. So, I mean, we could have definitely dropped later on in the standings. So, I mean, I don't think it'll be a huge disappointment. If we don't get past the first round, I think that's a huge disappointment. But, you know, with the playoffs, you know, you never know. So, I mean, you could shoot like John Starks did in game 6 of the NBA Finals. And, you know,
it's one game, Seth.
I know. But, like, you know, it happens. So we just, you know, the 3-pointers, the shooting has to be there. And then, of course, the defense. You know, you got to play Knicks defense. And that's the only way you're getting, you know, past these good teams.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe you went there, Seth. That's the one topic that's banned on this podcast is that John Starks performance. I'm just kidding.
Actually, if anybody, Seth's a big John Starks fan, so he could bring it up. I was thinking about it worse.
I was comparing him to Klay Thompson, you know, yesterday. Klay Thompson played 32 minutes and didn't score a point. So, you know, at least Starks went 2 for 18.
Listen, I'm not a Klay fan per se, but like, he's 34. He's probably washed. John Starks was in his prime. Yeah. And play down to have the history of big shots and big games. So, but yeah, I know it's a tough topic around here.
Still sore.
30 years later, still sore.
I hope like 10 years from now, 15 years of work, we're talking about the playoffs in 2024. Like it'd be nice to have that memory. Like, you know, like the 1994 NBA Finals, like the 99. I mean, it didn't work our way, but like, you know, it's still like those teams are like iconic. You know, those teams are like in our minds forever. Like, I hope that this 2024 team is the same way.
Yeah. You think we'll do that if it'll make the finals or bust for that conversation?
No, I mean, I think this team's special. I mean, no one thought they were going to win 50 games. You know, no team's ever had like three guys who won a college championship together on the same team. You know, no one, the Knicks haven't had a team that had a great point guard in our whole entire lifetime.
No.
So, so it's a special team. It definitely is.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, Dan, we don't really talk much about the 2013 Knicks, right? Because they didn't, they had a better record than this team, but they,
I feel like that team was kind of a mirage. Mm-hmm. Was that the kid team and with Melo?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that was, wait, who lost to the Pacers the second round? That's the 2017 team.
No, that was the 2013.
That was the team, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the Roy Hibbert game.
Like, I kind of smoke screens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they weren't as good as, we thought they were better than they were. Mm-hmm. I feel like this team, I think that's right. I think it's more special. You know, they're a more cohesive team. They're definitely better coached.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Brunson's a different player than Melo.
Last topic on the Knicks. If let's say the Knicks do make a deep run, they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals or further. What do you guys think they do with Randle going forward?
Eric, you want to hit this question? I'll start. I know I'm sure Seth has something to say on this too. We all do. I feel like if they do that, and I'm not trying to kiss Eric, you know what here, they got to consider moving him because. If he comes back, even if this team makes the Eastern Conference Finals and doesn't do great, I feel like they got to find somebody to compliment Brunson and Harden and DiVincenzo rather than somebody like Randle, who's very ball heavy and needs that rock. You know, I he's definitely a talent that can help, but if Brunson's dropping 35 points a game in the playoffs, you know, Randle takes away from that in the future. And he also isn't the best playoff performer. Mm-hmm. As he's shown. So I feel like if they make the run, you know, obviously finals is a incredible journey, even to the Eastern Conference, they got to consider the future with Randle, you know, and make this team purely around Brunson and find guys to compliment him.
Yeah. Seth, what do you think?
I don't know. I kind of disagree with Dan a little bit. I mean, you know, Randle is not my favorite, you know, player at all. Like, you know, I really thought that they should have, you know, kept Obi Toppin instead of Randle. But the beginning of this season, he showed that he's an all-star. And they're playing Brunson so many freaking minutes that he's just gonna collapse one day. Like Thibodeau's gonna have him on the floor like 48 minutes throughout the playoffs. So if you had a Randle guy to take some of that load off, you know, he just has to Randle has to have a new mindset coming into next year. He's not, you know, the 1A player anymore. Like he definitely has to take a back seat to Brunson. Brunson is your starter. Brunson is your, you know, fourth quarter guy who's going to need the ball. If he understands that and just plays his game, I think Randle will be great next year as long as he comes back healthy. And I think he only could help the Knicks out. You know, I know that in past years, like Randle didn't have a point guard in past years. So he was the one that was, remember, dribbling up the ball and turn the ball over and doing that stupid spin move. Like we have a point guard now that can get the ball to him in certain situations. You know, teams double team him down low, and that's going to leave Brunson and other players open. Like, and again, you're not going to, what are you going to trade him for? Like, you don't know what his cap is. You know, he's coming off an injury. You know, what do you expect? Like, do you want just draft picks for him? Like,
no, like, to be players.
Teams, yeah, but like who would you want to be in this team other than like maybe like Mikal Bridges, another Villanova guy? So they have like, you know, every Villanova guy they can, you know,
come on.
There's not a lot of players that I would trade Randle for. And again, like, I mean, you remember the beginning of this year, like it was Randle was dominant. Like he was playing like an all-star before that injury. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it sucks that we didn't get to see him play all year and we still haven't seen him play with like OG and players like that. So, you know, I'm not on the same like bandwagon to just like, just get rid of him before the season starts next year.
Mm. Well, it wouldn't be just giving away for nothing, but did you think he would be able to take that number two role, you know, knowing that he's not the first option anymore?
I think so. I do. I think that, well, he's going to have to, because if he doesn't, he's out the door. I mean, I think Thibodeau will let him know that day one, you know, like, you're not the captain anymore.
You know, I am Brunson's the captain now.
Yeah, Brunson's the captain. He's your fourth quarter option. You know, just get in line. Like, and if he doesn't, then deal him. But okay. I mean, I don't think I would deal him right away. And I want a lot back for him if they're going to make a deal for him.
I'm just kind of speculating here. The team may come out and say, here's what we want to offer. You know, we need him, but more, you need him. You have Brunson, you have Hart, DiVincenzo. I'm referring to somebody off the top of my head. OG, assuming he'll resign. You know, maybe a team would see that here's a guy you might need. And, you know, I'm not saying the Nets want to trade him for Bridges, but that's a, you know, I guess that'd be fair, maybe. You know, it couldn't be for nothing. It couldn't be for crap. It has to be for fair value, obviously. But I think, you know, your point does make sense, Seth, where, you know, be honest. Say, hey, this is what we expect from you. This is what we want from you. You know, and see what he says. Put the ball in his court.
Like, I'm not sure if you guys agree with me or not. We're not a better team without Randall. I know some people mm-hmm. think so. Mm-hmm. But I think we're a better team with him than without him.
So if they had him right now, you think to be in the finals? Or are you just saying they're – it wouldn't matter?
No, I mean, I think that – I think Boston's still a better team. Okay. But I think that we would give Boston more of a fight with Randall than without Randall. And I think that if we ended up in the finals against a team like – you know, Denver with Jokic, like who are you going to put you got to put Randall on Jokic. Like, I don't know, but I think that Randall's still a piece to this team, and I'm not going to, you know, maybe a year ago I thought differently, but after watching him at the beginning of this year, he definitely deserves to be an all-star, and he definitely deserves to be out there. And I can't wait till next year too, to see, you know, him and Brunson and OG all playing at the same time.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I hate to be the broken record. Like, to me, the biggest issue with Randall is you never know what you're going to get. Like, yes, he'll have stretches that are unbelievable. And then, you know, he'll have an emotional outburst and be a totally different guy for the next few weeks. And, you know, not do, you know, not answer questions after the game, or be, you know, flipping off fans, or, you know, just you kind of emotionally unpredictable. And, you don't always know what you're going to get season to season. Whereas Brunson's been on this trajectory over several years now, where he's gotten better and better and better. And there's never a question about what he's going to give to the team. And, you know, that he's there for the rest of the team. He's going to be a selfless guy, whatever it takes to win, not just, you know, for his own stats and whatnot. Like, my biggest question with Randall is, you know, yes, he had a great start to the season, but could, for some resources, some sort of trade or something, could you get something better, like a better fit that also improves the team, but, you know, is a different sort of flavor than Randall?
I mean, you know, I guess it all depends on how the playoffs go this year. You know, I think that's big. You know, if we get knocked out in the first round, I think they'll think differently. I think if we make it far, like, well, we really don't need Randall. So I think a lot depends on these playoffs and free agency too. You know, we don't have the money to re-sign all these guys this year. Like, I think Hartenstein might be gone. I think Mitch might be gone. I mean, I think that, you know, they're going to have to retool somewhat. So if you can package Randall with someone that you're going to lose or some draft picks and make a better team, I'd say do it. But this team's good. You know, they've won 50 games. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it would be different if we were sitting outside the playoff picture or in the playing game. But we won 50 games, guys. Like, let's enjoy it. And yeah, let's see how far they can go.
We're good Jews. We always look at the negatives when good things are happening to us.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Alec Burks yet, for instance. No, I'm just kidding.
That was Bobby Portis doing that.
Yeah,
I'm happy this team doesn't have Portis and Taj Gibson on the team anymore. I think that even the guys that come off the bench only play a few minutes are better than what we've had in the past. So, I mean, this is the most talented team we've had probably since that 2013 team that Eric was talking about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that 2013 was great. But you know what they were missing? They're missing a point guard. You know, we have that point guard now. So,
yeah.
Yeah, let's. I mean, it's been fun watching Brunson out there. Like, remember we were saying like a couple podcasts ago, like, you know, if you had to pick a player to get a jersey of, like, right now, like
Brunson,
like, what would you do? Like, how many kids right now have purchased a Brunson jersey recently and have, like, you know, he's kind of like, he's what I kind of think we wanted in Porzingis when we drafted him, like someone to like save the franchise.
Yeah,
and Porzingis was too soft, like, and he couldn't hack him in New York. But Brunson is like that perfect fit, someone that could like save the franchise. And that's what he's done, you know, since he's gotten here.
Absolutely. He's turned into like a local folk hero or something.
I'm gonna, to add on to Seth's comment about Brunson jerseys, as somebody who sees kids a lot in his daily life, I've seen way more Brunson and Nick jerseys in the last couple months than I would have seen in the last several years. Mm. Outside of Porzingis, I guess. So, you know, it's definitely something that's catching on, you know, because, you know, he's good and he's a good guy. And he's playing his, you know what, off, and look how good they are.
Yeah,
you know, when the Knicks are good, the Knicks are a different animal in this town. They're one of the more popular teams besides the baseball teams. You know, people just latch onto them. So, you know, it's I always hate when I hear, "Oh, New York, New York." No, when you watch New York, you know, whenever they're good, it's a different story. It's crazy. So, hopefully, you know, I know we don't need any more free agents, but you know. The Durants, the Bronze, and see this and say, oh, well, I could have done this too, but whatever.
Yeah.
But how many years have we lived through in the last 40 years, right? That we're just waiting for the NBA draft to happen and our team's out of the playoffs, or, you know, we're just like thinking, like, what's the next step? Like, who we're going to get, and we'd be disappointed we didn't get them. Like, how many summers has that happened? Like, finally, like, we have someone that we can, like, look to the future that you can build around. Like, it's been way too long, you know.
Yeah. It's ironic because all these guys waited for, and it's Jalen Brunson, who's a second round draft pick, who, you know, playing behind Luka and was decent, but people didn't know how good he was. Mm-hmm. So, good job, Leon Rose.
Yep. we've got to move on to the Giants.
Give it up for the trades, the free agent signings. Yeah. Like he built this team from the bottom, and now with his second seed in the playoffs.
Big time. Yeah, it's a huge. It's been a great success story. We can't wait for the playoffs. We've got to move on to the Giants, but Seth, thank you so much for hopping on and chatting some Knicks playoffs prospects with us.
Thanks, Seth. So next time you come back, we can talk about our Westchester Knicks game where we got court-side seats.
Yeah, we'll talk about that maybe next round.
We'll bring you back soon. Go Knicks. Thank you, Seth. We'll be in touch.
All right. Sounds good. Seth. Take care, guys.
Bye.
That was Seth Abbott.
True story.
Looking forward to more info on that one. All right, the NFL offseason is in full swing here. We've got the NFL draft here coming up, so let's chat. Let's first recap some of what's gone on with the Giants so far here, Dan. A lot of moves to start free agency, additions, subtractions. Why don't you fill us in first on, you know, the biggest moves?
Well, do I start with the subtraction or the addition? You make that call.
Subtraction. And let's go subtraction.
Subtraction. Okay.
You're a mathematician. Let's do it right.
I'm a mathematician.
Math teacher. I'm not a math teacher.
I'm not a math teacher. If I tell math, it gives me in trouble. Yeah, Jihad Ward went to the Vikings. No, obviously there's two big subtractions. One of them being Mr. Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to sit there and dump on the move because you know how I feel about it. I think I kind of got him on my side a little bit here and there. It's difficult. He was a very good player when healthy. He was a good guy, a good leader, good teammate. But it's just still that pick. It's still something we're going to be gnawing at for years. I listen to a podcast, and they do a great job. I'm not going to waste our time now breaking down what could have been. Maybe one day we'll do a podcast on that time, on that draft. Might even carry the quarterbacks they passed on. You know, it's just in the modern NFL, do you need a running back? Of course. Do you need a draft one, number two overall? No, you don't. And, you know, it just wasn't, you know, they didn't win a lot with him. They had the one season where they went, 9-8-1. The record was pretty abysmal with him, and not saying it's his fault, but, you know, that's why you don't pick a running back so high. That's why you pick edge rushers and tackles, and you need the quarterback. You know, they haven't gotten the quarterback right since, you know, they picked Eli. You know, and it's still a struggle. So, you know, it's unfortunately, you know, I feel like I predicted this when they first brought in Shane. I didn't think they would want to keep this guy long term. you know, the Buffalo, they didn't really value the running back like maybe certain guys, and that was what last stand at right with Metelman. But, you know, the only thing I wish they would have done, I know it would have been hard to train them because they would have no offense, but it's to trade them and get a draft pick. Mm-hmm. You know, I know they're probably going to comp pick next year, which would be fine, but, you know, I kind of would like to have it now, but, you know, training him might have been a tough pill to swallow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, I guess I'll pause for a second. What is your thoughts on the, and I have more to add on that as we get to the additions, because there's a reason why. What do you think about Mr. Barkley heading down? I didn't trash him for going to Philly, to be honest with you.
No.
What are your thoughts? You can go there if you want.
He was going to take the money. I mean, that I understand that. First of all,
First
of all, I'd say Eli chose us.
That's true.
That's
true.
The Saquon thing. I mean, I feel like he was doomed as soon as Shane walked in the door and Gettleman left. You know, he wasn't Shane's pick, and he was, you know, frankly, an overpaid running back, like a great locker room guy, great leader, you know, great attitude. He kind of got the short end of the stick with just management and, you know, sort of like, you know, budgets of positions per, you know, position on the team and in the NFL. Like, it's unfortunate for him. Like, I feel, you know, bad for the guy in terms of he said he wanted to stay a Giant, and he was pretty loyal to the franchise and kind of got run over a couple times the last couple off seasons. But, you know, I wish him the best, and he was, you know, I don't blame him for anything really that happened on the team.
Not
his fault. And Gettleman, yeah, I feel like we've touched on this topic 100 times already, but like I totally agree. You can't just pick a running back because he was quote unquote touched by the hand of God wherever you feel like picking him. Like, that's not rational. That's not logical. That's not really picking with a smart mindset for the future. That's just like,
you know, with your heart, not your brain.
Exactly. So I wish him the best. I enjoyed, you know, the good times with him. He was a great leader, but it was time for the team to move on. And hopefully, you know, all the best for him, and the team can be a little more smart going forward for the team can, like, you know, just you know, adopt a new mindset in terms of like running backs for the future.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. It's always a solid point. The value there is, you know, I don't know how the Eagles have all this money to sign quarterbacks and running backs and receivers.
Finding in the couch, finding like nonsense. Coins and dollars in the couch.
Yeah. Is there a salary cap in this damn league? No, listen, I you're right. Like, he if he spurned us, you know, if he took a little bit more to go to Philly, you know, a couple of dollars more here or there, I'd be more upset. Mm-hmm. But the Giants didn't really seem to have like a desire. They weren't going to go above. I don't know. We don't know what they were at, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And it might not have been an offer on the table. You know, I didn't think he'd get that much money. I thought he'd get between $7 and $8 million. So what do I know? but, you know, I thought he'd be in Houston. But yeah, you know, I wish him the best. You know, hopefully he has some good run. You know, but obviously I don't want to see him win. But, you know, best luck to him.
especially against us.
Mm-hmm. Listen, you know. But it's all set. You know, it's just, are they going to win next year? Probably not. It'll be a freaking miracle. But they've lost guy. You know what happened? Actually, they lost Tiki. Mm-hmm. They won the Super Bowl. Yeah. You know, Shockey got hurt in the year, and they won. You know, you lose guys. Guys go in and out. You know, the Tyreek Hill was traded from the Chiefs, and they've won two in a row. You know.
By the way, like, we were together when this happened, but I could never predict. Like, I would never expect Saquon to come on the airwaves and trash talk the Giants right after leaving. Like, he doesn't seem like that kind of guy like Tiki did.
No,
you know, with Eli.
I think Tiki, and I listen to him on the Fan now. So I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt. I think he was just trying to make a name for himself and trying to, like, you know, show he can be impartial. You know, I get it. He probably shouldn't have been as callous as he was, but you know what? It maybe helped Eli.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe it's not, and he's a Giant fan. He's very pro Giant. So I'm not, you know. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, we were in that in Seau's when he said it, but we couldn't hear it.
Yeah. We were in San Diego together watching that whole thing go down. But
I think we were with Rena too. Not that she had any idea what was going on.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you know, we'll get to him soon. And just one more, obviously, they lost the X-Man.
Yes.
Xavier McKinney. And that really was unexpected. I'm looking at his contract now. It's 4 years, $67 million. That's a lot of money, and it's a lot for a safety. So, and the Giants weren't going to do that.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, again, no hard feelings. You got to help your family. Mm-hmm. He didn't spurn the Giants. So, and they're like, oh, yeah, Green Bay is on an enemy right now.
Yeah, not yet.
But this is why they and this is what Shane's doing well, I think. And you can chime in. Obviously, I'm sure you might agree with me. But you don't get Brian Burns. Mm-hmm. You don't get a guy like Brian Burns who could be a game changing pass rusher along with Thibodeau and Dexter. Mm-hmm. If you re-sign Barkley, you can't upgrade with guys like Jermaine Illuminar. I'm saying his name right. I'm sorry. you know, with John Runyon, certain guys, you're going to miss out guys, who you might need, help your team. You know, they're going to value edge rush. They're going to value O-line. Mm-hmm. I really liked the Singletary signing. And truth be told, I wanted him last year on the Giants. Mm. I do. He's like Saquon Barkley light. Mm. You know, something about Barkley, I don't believe he should be running the ball every down. I know the Giants do that. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Eagles will or won't. It's up to them, not me. D-bag Sirianni. But, you know, he does well when he gets the ball. He's a good, backed by committee. He doesn't need it every time. And he gets pretty good yards per carry. And he's a decent runner. You know, he knows where to find his lane. He runs hard. I think this is his name, Motor or Turbo. Not Turbo. He has like a funny nickname that I like. It might have been Motor. He never stopped. Kind of reminds me of like Ahmad Bradshaw.
Huh.
And listen, I like that running back. Give me those running backs every damn day of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Bradshaw was amazing.
Give me the O-line. I don't know. Listen, they signed John Runyon's son, Agar. I don't know how good this guy's going to be. He should be an improvement. You can't get much worse than some of the crap we've seen in the last couple of years. but he stabilized that part of the team. Now, Illuminar and they're playing guard or tackle. You know, they did get a new offensive line coach whose name I'm just forgetting, and I apologize to the gentleman. Mm-hmm. He was on the Raiders last year, very highly regarded. You know, Evan, I know he's on an addition to Evan Neal, but, you know, he's had a rough 2 years. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they can, he can work on his game and be better because mm-hmm. they need a good right tackle. And, it can be a better O-line. Am I forgetting anybody who they signed? I'm looking quickly. I hear anybody important. I don't want Drew. What do you think of the Drew Lock signing? I liked it. You never know these guys. Redemption stories, guys with talent. Maybe Dable and Kafka can get something in his head.
Yeah. I agree.
I like Tyrod, but obviously he wasn't on that too much money.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good signing. Like, there's so much uncertainty right now with the quarterback position. Yeah, why not throw another guy in there? He reminds me a little bit of like we were talking about the possibility when Shane and Dable came over of like, does Trubisky follow? Like, it's sort of like in that range of like, he's probably not a starter, starter material off the bat or anything, but it gives you more competition at the position depending on how the draft goes. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a bad move at all.
No, I mean, listen, I we're not going to get to Jones today. I don't think that's really the podcast for that today.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the injury in his play is still, 6 years in, we're still debating it. And that's sort of a problem. It is, I guess we can spend a minute on that. Jones, he has a quote unquote 1 year left mm-hmm. on his contract. I know, and we'll get to the draft and there's a lot of quarterback talk. Hindsight, they clearly shouldn't have given him 4 years, 160. Mm-hmm. But they did. And, we're stuck with a quarterback who, wasn't any better than Tyrod Taylor and Tommy DeVito.
that's brutal, but so true.
Oh, when you're just overall pick in a draft and you sign a big contract and I know the O-line sucked, but like not every team has a great O-line. You got to make it do. You can't be scared.
Yeah.
He has other I'm not going to get into the issues with, his ability to process and, at the field, but, it's I hindsight, and I don't know, I can't remember a conversation a year ago before they re-signed him. I feel like we were okay with it, but clearly they gave him too much. They should have let him test the market and not bid against themselves. So it kind of seems like they did that.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great contract year, like some players do, right, in every sport. He had a really great contract year.
Was it a great contract? I guess it was in hindsight compared to what he put on tape before.
Yeah, and well, the team hadn't been to the playoffs in a long time. He took them to the playoffs. He won a playoff game. I think we were all just like, wow, he's finally turned a corner. He's got Daboll, you know, pushing him forward. And then huge regression this past year.
Well, because teams can see the tape and they can game plan around it.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, not to mention the injuries, too.
That's true. Which is a problem.
Yeah.
You know, we had Eli for how many years with no injuries, no time missed.
Yeah. Take that. I know stuff ACLs are
fluke. I can't, you know, I don't want to blame him for that, but
yeah.
I think they got a couple like tight ends they picked up, like blocking tight ends. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna go their names. It's, you know, other guys they picked some T tackles. So, you know, they're looking at the O line. You know, they replaced Singletary, Barkley Singletary, which I like that move. They signed some random like college free agent, some like small fast guy. You know, so I like the fact that they're not. Maybe they'll take a guy in the draft, but we'll get to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. I just like to. Did I talk about Burns at all?
Yeah, a little bit, I think. Dan, you there? Oh, we've lost Dan here. Can't hear you. Well, hopefully Dan comes back here in a sec, but yeah, right now it's just me. See if we can bring him back here. Okay, we're in the waiting room with Dan. Sorry about that, everyone. But yeah, we were talking Giants free agency moves leading up to the draft here. You know, I think the team is making some improvements. You know, they've you know, clean some of the dirt from the Gettleman era. They're kind of wiping the slate clean. They're flushing the offensive line, finally bringing some more talent there. They're getting younger and cheaper at running back. They're bringing in some, you know, pass rush weapons. And the, you know, the biggest question, I think, obviously, is what are the Giants going to do at quarterback? Because a lot of uncertainty there as to...
I'm talking to myself.
Yes. Welcome back, Dan. Yes, you were.
I thought I lost you. I'm talking to myself. I'm like, I don't think Eric's there. I'm going to keep talking.
It's okay. Kick me out. I wasn't really welcome here anyway in the first place.
Did I kick you out?
I somehow got dropped from the meeting here.
You know, I think in how many years we've been doing this, we never had an issue.
I can take a hint. It's all right.
Screw you. I'm doing this myself for now. I'm blue dude. Blue dude is bite as Eric.
Yeah,
that's what I was saying about Burns. I don't know what you heard about Burns. I definitely like the move. Mm-hmm. You know, I know, you know, he's has some stat issues. You know, he didn't, you know, but Carolina was horrible. He definitely has the ability to come off the line and to play. And, you know, when Shane Bowen, I think, is not wink, he doesn't blitz. He's going to rely more on his D lineman to rush the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think that'll benefit him and Thibodeau and Dexter a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's so far a good offseason. And he didn't agree. So he didn't say yes or no. So I'm like, he's not there. I think, you know, it's not a finished product. It probably won't be. But they're definitely taking steps in the right direction to make this team, you know, to build a line and, you know, to build the lines, you know, from the lines out.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Why don't we touch a little bit on the draft? Do you have any general thoughts about what's to come here with the Giants and the draft?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, their first pick will be a receiver. I think the quarterback situation is kind of smokescreen. Mm. I don't know. Listen, we're not experts to talk about McCarthy and Drake May and Daniels. I think they like Drake May. I think he's a pretty good prospect. He's got a lot of, you know, Justin Herbert-like ability. You know, I know I've heard something recently about he doesn't process as well, which kind of scares me. You know, but I don't know. You don't like. We don't know what's gonna happen after pick one. Obviously, we're gonna have your buddy from USC going first, Caleb Williams. but after that, you know, what does Washington do? You know, do they go with Jaden Daniels? Do they go with KJ? Do they go with the Drake? They love the Drake. by the way, there are a couple of good nicknames coming up that we're gonna touch on, but it's you know, I don't know. So clearly, the Giants aren't trading up into one or two. Washington has to be a quarterback. You know, they finally have an owner who's not an a-hole. You know, they have a decent GM, a young guy, kind of like a Shanahan guy. They're mm-hmm. picking a quarterback. Who are they going to pick? I don't know. I think if the Giants are going to trade up for a quarterback at three, or maybe even four, if the guy's there, I think it would be Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, he's friend, he Eli's worked with him. they have a UNC connection. I think he'll be, you know, I like guys like with his arm strength and his abilities to go and work with a guy like Dable. Mm-hmm. You know, I just, as long as they're sure that he can, you know, read the defense and go through reads and progressions, I'm good with that. But it'll take a lot to trade up, obviously, probably a one next year and like a three or four this year, but mm-hmm. a couple other picks here and there. But sometimes you gotta make that move to get that quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, we're gonna, you know, if they lost a couple of games, they would have been worried about this. They'd be the number two pick waiting on Drake May, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
I think gonna happen, and I'm not obviously a crystal ball person here, is the first four will somehow be quarterbacks. Now, I'm going to assume, putting aside the Giants picking a quarterback, I'm going to assume that it's not going to happen. If it is, it'll be Drake May, I think. But assuming quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, maybe the Vikings trade up to 4. Then you have the receivers. I think you're going to be quarterback and receivers. If the Vikings trade up to 4, then obviously the Chargers are on the clock. Mm-hmm. So they can take the first position player off the board. I assume they're going to take a receiver. I assume it would be Marvin Harrison. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a young quarterback. They're making a big contract. You know, you kind of give him his weapons. Maybe they'll take the league neighbors. I think in the sixth pick, they'll have the choice of either, if it's Marvin Harrison, they're taking Marvin Harrison. Mm-hmm. You're going to get that card in as quickly as possible. He's just a polished, he's a polished, you know, not going to be kind of probably like his dad. Not going to be a blazer. Not going to be, you know, set world records in speed, but he'll get open. He'll break tackles. So just be a, you know, guy kind of like, you know, our version of Plaxico. Guy mm-hmm. you can count on. Mm-hmm. That's who I kind of see. I see another guy like this, but I could take him in a minute. If he's there, you got to take Marvin. You just have to. Mm-hmm. Now, if Marvin's gone, now, well, I mean, if like Chargers take Joe Alt, one of the old linemen, I don't think they will. They already have a left tackle that they took a couple years ago. Then the Giants, you know, have the first pick of receivers, take Marvin. If, you know, assuming 1, 2, 3, 4 are quarterback and Harrison goes to the Chargers, the guy that I think they're going to end up with, I think will be Roma Dunze from Washington. Mm. He kind of reminds me of Marvin Harrison. He has that, or, you know, that big guy who can, he's not going to, again, not going to blaze the speed out there, but he can separate. And more importantly, he'll win jump balls, and he doesn't really drop anything. He's able to catch the ball and like muscle up receivers and call it a good catch point. You know, he doesn't drop a lot, and he gets the ball, you know, when it's thrown to him. Mm-hmm. Haven't had that in a while. You know, since Hakeem Nicks, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, I know his career kind of took an unfortunate turn with injuries. But I know Malik Nabers, people are high on him because he's fast as hell, has that Beckham mentality. I think if it was just Nabers was there, yeah, but I want that pure X outside receiver who, you know, you can count on. Yeah, it's nice to have a guy who can get open and take the ball, but you need the guy who can catch a third down or jump ball in the end zone. Mm-hmm. You know, you can count on. So I think the pick will be Adunze. Mm-hmm. I feel like they don't need a guy like a fast guy because they already have Hyatt. Mm-hmm. They have Wandale. So I just think if it's, you know, perfect world, it's Harrison. Mm-hmm. Realistic world, it's Adunze. Mm-hmm. If it's neighbors, I would understand it. I wouldn't be my first choice, but I know, you know, but that's my thoughts. I think it's going to be quarterback or receiver, but if I had to put money on it, it'd be a receiver.
Can I give a quick shameless plug that's sort of related to what we're talking about?
Never.
So for those out there who are fans of the NFL and the draft, my sound team is working on a documentary right now. It's going to be airing on NFL Network on Monday about a draft prospect who's probably going to go in the first round this year. I don't think the Giants are going to draft him. His name is Laiatu Latu.
Oof. Where's he from? Is he a Polynesian?
I don't know originally where he's from, but he's a UCLA pass rusher. People are calling him the number one pass rushing prospect, so the Giants probably aren't going to go for him.
No, they're not going for him.
But we're working on a cool documentary about him and his upbringing, you know, how he got to where he is, and that'll be on NFL Network on Monday night and probably other times next week. leading up to the draft.
Well, if it's on Monday, you better be finished with it soon.
Yeah, Sunday night. We're gonna be working late.
last minute, better late than never, right?
Yeah. But I just
I don't see them picking a pass rusher unless they trade back, which is a possibility, but very small.
Yeah, we did one of these last year about a guy who was drafted last year named Derek Hall. He's on the Seahawks now. Yeah.
Team so, this always knew that error. Gotta pay those bills.
Yeah, then we'll if you can follow me and hashtag. I'm just kidding.
Any Matrix fans out there?
Okay, last question, Dan. Just kind of looking back so far at the history here. How would you grade Shane's draft so far with the Giants over the, you know, his first couple of years with the team? Like, what stands out to you about his style of drafting so far?
I would give him a B. And the only reason it's a B, can you guess why it's not a B plus or an A?
Evan Neal? Again,
yeah. I hate to dunk on, I'm not trying to dunk on it because it's somebody I heard recently that he was like either the best O-lineman or the best player overall on Jones in the Cowboys draft that year. And I don't remember us thinking it was a terrible – it was the Eric Flowers pre. He had a good career. But the reason I don't love the pick in hindsight, and I really like Garrett Wilson. And, you know, to have a Garrett Wilson type, and they could have taken an O-lineman a little later in the second round. I just wish they would have, you know – and they already had Andrew Thomas at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I just, you know, hindsight, if they pick Garrett Wilson there, I would be a cool A. But they've taken some risks. I still like the Kibito move. I'll always like. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be a very good pro. Wandell, you know, Cordell Flott's shown some flashes. Mm-hmm. Who else I'm thinking? Deontay Banks last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened with Hyatt. I don't know what the coaches did with him. He had some great flashes, and Schmitz will be okay. John Michael Schmitz.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, and he's also prioritized positions of need: O lineman, defensive back, a rush, it's not perfect. Zudu, I wish was healthier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm missing a guy from 2 years ago. Who's the second round pick? Wandell and Fly. Yeah, I think, you know, other contributors, other than not taking a Wilson over Neal, I think he's been pretty sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just overall, and you mentioned it before about the position and the value. It's not just, you know, reaching for a guy. You know, they're not going to pick a safety unless he's like a false slips or crazy safety too high.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna get the guys they need. You know, I feel like in this draft second round, I know we didn't, we're not gonna go too deep into that. We'll discuss the picks next on our next pod, hopefully soon. I think you're gonna go for either at the cornerback, maybe an alignment, but a position that, you know, they of value they could use, you know, like mm-hmm. On a line or a cornerback. I think that'll be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's deep for that position, so I have this feeling. But he's not, you know, their process, even if they miss their process, they're not like just reaching for random guys. They're not taking like a D tackle in the seventh overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I know we don't have so much time. So I heard recently that the reason they took Dexter Lawrence only because somebody they wanted was picked right before. So they kind of like just picked him out of, I don't know when, but like it was like their best option, but he wasn't like your first choice.
Wow.
It made me, I got to find it again, but it's just so funny.
That was Gettleman, right?
Yeah, Gettleman.
Wow, that was his probably kind of best pick.
Yeah, I'd say so. Oh, Andrew Thomas.
Oh yeah.
Right. He was fourth overall. There's still a couple other O-linemen we like too.
Oh yeah, right. That's true. That's a good point.
No, I just appreciating Shane's, and then also it seems like not only that they seem to have an idea of, you know, the value of positions and when to take a guy, or they're also seem to be doing, you know, turning over every rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not, you know, scouting guys, just taking, they're bringing guys, all these quarterbacks in, they're not letting things leak out. You know, he's trying to like, you know, throw some shade, throw some doubt, you know, trying to like create a different narrative so people are confused. I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, I gave you multiple options. It could be, you know, as long as it's not, you, as long as they don't sit there and take a D tackle or take a safety or a not great cornerback, they're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he trades back, I'll understand that. But I don't think they're going to trade back for one. They need a receiver. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's not the quarterback, then you need a receiver.
Yeah.
You know, it's obvious, especially when they lost Barkley.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
I like Wandale, but and Slayton, but they need a guy there, a number one.
Absolutely. All right, we have to wrap for today.
Dan's rant today.
No time for Dan's rant. Maybe we'll have multiple Dan's rants next time. Make up for it.
Okay. Oh, sounds good. We'll be back soon for a post-draft podcast.
Yes.
That'll probably be in a couple weeks, but yeah, I can't wait. It's a week from tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, the baseball game until 8:15. I'm not happy about that.
Well,
Dan Dillon.
Hopefully by then we'll have some good Knicks updates as well. Yeah. By the next time we're on here.
Mm-hmm. At the very point.
Thank you, Dan. This is always great to talk and mm-hmm. lots of exciting things, exciting times for New York sports right now.
It's a good time for maybe the Rangers, the Knicks, Mets, Yankees. Mm-hmm. Spring is blooming in New York.
Yeah, maybe even the Giants. Who knows? All right. Dan, thank you so much for joining. Yes, and thank you everyone out there for listening. This has been the Blue Dudes Podcast. We'll talk with you next time.
Hey, guys.